Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about J.R. Smith, the former Cav, the Cavs legend, so might I say, getting a chance to perhaps come back to the Lakers in the bubble. And we're also going to talk about Andre Drummond and what it means that he is basically saying he's coming back to the Cavs next year, and kind of dive into that in a little more detail that that deserves. But today, just so you guys know, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I divulged my sleeping habits to you this morning, and I still feel like I'm kind of being judged a little bit, but
I'm not judging, I'm just worried about you.
Listen, did you watch SpongeBob as a kid, Chris?
Intermittently.
Shame. So hopefully you get this reference. Do you remember when they had the box and they were, with the power of imagination, it's the most fun you could ever have?
Oh, yeah. This is like one of the old, like, handful of episodes I've ever seen.
It's an iconic one, so I get that, but I always want to make sure. When Patrick says, "I'll sleep when I'm dead," that's pretty much my mood. For those of you who don't know, usually I stay up until midnight, 12:30, sometimes 1 a.m. Get up at 5 a.m. for work. Sometimes earlier too, go for a run because it helps me wake up, take a shower because it helps me wake up, get dressed, get ready for the day. And then by like 9 o'clock, I'm absolutely miserable because all the caffeine in my system's worn off and I don't want to keep drinking it. So, no, I got a good night's sleep last night because after Chris and I finished recording, I just went straight to bed and then, woke up in a good mood. So there we are. How are you, Chris? How's your sleep habit?
Sleep has never been something I'm good at. It's just something I've always kind of been a little iffy on for a variety of reasons, but getting a little better at it of late and trying to get more along like the 7 to 8 hour mark, that's kind of become more of my goal, which is a positive, you know, not just going to be exhausted all the time, which is good. So we're getting there, I think is kind of the biggest thing. Yeah. I just have to get this out real quickly. Soccer wise, Paul Pogba, even though he plays for a team I don't like, Manchester United, is playing really fun soccer again, and he's great, and Paul Pogba is awesome, and that makes me happy. That's bringing me joy this week.
That's great. I don't really know what to launch off this. Oh, I have a question for you. People are surprised. Did you know Jabari Parker plays for the Kings now?
Wait, what? you're not joshing me?
No, I'm not joshing. I feel like I'm the only one who knew this. Like, I wasn't surprised when the notification dropped that he tested positive for coronavirus, but he's planning on joining Sacramento and Orlando. And everyone's like, everyone on Twitter, because they're not on there, Chris, I'm like your Twitter informant at this point, is like, wait, Jabari Parker plays for the Kings? I'm like, yeah, he averages like 4 points per game. Atlanta traded him, I think, in a salary dump, and that's how they got back Dwayne Dedman, if I remember correctly.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah, no, they got back Dwayne Dedman by...
Well, I knew that Dwayne Dedman was back on the Hawks. I guess I didn't realize that Jabari Parker was part of that trade.
Yeah, no, it was for Jabari Parker and Alex Len on the Kings, which is such a Kings move to add a Galetta Centers. But speaking of former players, Cavaliers great and...
Great transition. Proud of you.
One of my probably favorite Cavaliers ever, which at the time when he was traded here, I definitely didn't feel that way. J.R. Smith, he is the front runner to take Avery Bradley's spot on the Lakers and join the odds-on title favorite to win the NBA title, the Mickey Mouse Trophy, in Orlando in July. And couldn't be happy for JR. It's been a weird time ever since his time in Cleveland came to an end. The way his career in Cleveland came to an end was way weirder than what's been going on now, because he's just been kind of doing his thing.
JR being back and on that team and getting a chance to contribute to a good team again makes me very happy. I am very pro JR. I am very happy for him. I think his reputation has always been a little more unfair to him than it really deserved. I think his time in Cleveland didn't exactly end the way you would kind of want it to be. But I don't think he or the organization really handled that all that well.
I'm gonna play like, I don't know, just gonna be like that guy here. Maybe I'm chaining like Rachel Nichols right now. I put more blame on the feet of the organization.
Oh, I do too. I 100% do too.
Okay, cool.
We're on the same page there.
Because JR has openly said at this point, and Channing has verified it, and I believe RJ has verified it as well, and like you and I have heard it too, that a lot of these veterans in the first year of Life After LeBron Part 2 were told by the Cavs, like, listen, we're going to try and contend for a playoff spot, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, to be fair, you don't factor in Kevin Love breaking a bone in his foot and just kind of derailing the entire season. But JR took it more so personally because Ty Lue refused to bench him, and that played a part in Ty Lue getting fired. And, like, it was just a mess. And I think, yeah, no, it more so falls in the organization. But, no, happy for JR to get back out there. And I never knew his Twitter bio says, I hoop, get tatted, play video games, and A-N, shit, !! All capitalized. It's just, that's very on brand for him.
What a king. I guess my only question with him, and I just to say, like, I think there is a question on what he's going to provide. He hasn't played basketball professionally since he left the Cavs.
Chris, J.R. Smith in a contract year, and then he's playing for his basketball
life. Playing
for,
like, his whole career, basically.
Yeah, this is going to be, like, peak JR. I'm going to throw all the hyperbole I can, because we saw firsthand what contract JR looks like in the playoffs, and I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun when he joins the Lakers. Probably not going to be as refined or anything, but it's weird to think JR and Deion are now teammates with LeBron again, and that's another move I forgot about, as well as Deion signed with the Lakers too.
Yeah, so, and Deion, JR, I believe, worked out with the Lakers before him and Deion both worked out there. And look, I mean, I think the question here that's going to be really interesting is they're replacing Avery Bradley with probably, you're going to get JR and Deion minutes, and these are guys that haven't played with the Lakers yet. If you look at, you know, I know there's some issues and kind of limitations in what Avery Bradley is versus his reputation. I know, like, Clippers folks were, like, really harping on the fact that he actually wasn't all that good with them. I know that the Lakers value him. He's been a starter for them all year. There is going to be some replacement level kind of stuff with him there, and he opted out for very fair reasons, and I think it is an open question on what JR and /Deion are going to provide. I think I'm more just happy about what they're thinking of the opportunity. I'm going to look at the Lakers roster to see, and KCP obviously probably gets more minutes here, and he's probably a little more dependable than those two guys at this point.
Not KCP. Alex Caruso is a great defensive player and can more or less Caruso. Replicate
future,
a lot
future,
of
future Cleveland Cavalier Alex Caruso. Caruso. This is after
I said Caruso.
Okay, I thought you said Caruso, and I was about.
I'm a big Alex Caruso fan, and my joke is the more hair he loses, the more powerful he's going to become.
Shave the head.
LeBron should do the same, but that's just a narrative we've been preaching for years. But no,
I was just ready to jump on you after on the previous episode this week. You said Mindy Kaling.
Well, you know what? That was an honest mistake.
Yeah, and
People were giving me crap about drafting the Knicks too, so don't worry.
On Twitter, maybe this is like a sign that like people on Twitter were doing this.
No, people like personally were giving me crap. I appreciate y'all for listening. But
that was also me being like, is Twitter becoming safe for me to go back onto? But that's not true.
Never. No. What was I gonna say? You're a numbers guy. Can you tell me what the on-off numbers are with Caruso on the floor with LeBron and without him? Because from what I gathered, Frank Vogel just doesn't like Caruso, but statistically, like, when you look at advanced stats, like, the Lakers are super good when him and LeBron play together, and,
I'm gonna pull that.
Especially compared to Rondo. Like, Rondo is also an option to start a point guard, but I feel like it'd be foolish to the Lakers not to start Caruso. In place of AB.
Yeah, I think you probably could go, I'm gonna pull this up to kind of tell you. I'm gonna filter this, just to clean the glass, for having a very easy to use, tool here, but LeBron James, okay, filter lineups, I'm pro Caruso as well, so okay, so let's see if they have him listed as more of a point guard as opposed to a small forward here, or a shooting guard, excuse me.
Let's see.
Okay, so Caruso listed as a point guard is 469 possessions with LeBron James at small forward. There's about 100, another 131 or so where he's playing the two guard spot, so that's worth noting. But the bigger sample size here is good. And the most common lineup is Caruso, Caldwell Pope, LeBron, AD, Dwight Howard. And the second common is Caruso, Daniels, LeBron, Kuzma, Howard. So he's playing a lot with like that Kuzma-Howard kind of duo. Here's the overall kind of aggregate numbers on this. In 469 mm-hmm. possessions, they are plus 16.6 per 100 possessions on aggregate. 116 points per 100 possessions on offense, giving up a whopping 99.8 points per 100 possessions on defense.
Just as an aside, this Lakers team is so stupid defensively, especially with like an
underrated
Frank Vogel.
Underrated thing about this Lakers team, it's really good defensively, yeah.
Yeah, like Frank Vogel, I think you tweeted it while you were still on there saying, like, listen, the Lakers were getting Dwight Howard, they're getting like all these pieces that are like solid defensive players on their own, but then you have a tactician like Frank Vogel running the whole show. You're like, this is a little unfair right now.
Yeah. So I'm with that. I guess I think if you're looking at, I'm gonna see how many minutes a game Avery Bradley is playing, but you're filling some minutes there. So let's just say it goes to Caruso, it goes to KCP. Avery Bradley, according to Basketball Reference, is playing about, he's played 49 games this year. He's appeared in almost 24.2 minutes per game. That's not insignificant. So you would think, no. Considering they signed Deion first, pre all of what's going on in the world, I wonder if he gets a shot first.
He probably will.
But I think both these guys, you'd think, would they get a chance. And I'm, again, just as the Cavs connection here, considering this is a Cavs podcast, I'm glad that JR is getting another shot. That's kind of my main pointer. And I think
we kind of went on a tangent there.
Well, it's fine. Yeah. Alex Caruso's future Cav Alex Caruso's worth it.
Hell yeah.
I would just say, like, for JR, I think if his legacy, unfortunately, I think is going to be so tied to his mistake in the finals. And I think that's a little unfair considering how important he was in 2016, how good he was on an all-time great Cavs team in 2017, all that stuff.
No, I 100% agree. And I think, one, it's not fair that the way the last finals run for the Cavs ended, like, that's going to really be, as much as we don't want it to be, it's going to be an iconic moment in J.R. Smith's otherwise pretty boneheaded career. Like, it's just another J.R. being J.R. moment. And I guess to backtrack, I remember how upset I was the Cavs obtained J.R. Smith, because I was, like, all in on them getting him on Shumpert. I'm like, this is great. Shumpert's, like, gonna, like, this is when I was a bit more casual too, when the Cavs wrapped up this trade. But so I was like, JR's like, I'm gonna be a problem, he could destroy this locker room, all these other things. No, JR quickly became my favorite player.
Was he also a bucket?
He was a bucket. He was buckets upon buckets upon buckets, and just so fun to watch.
Yes. All right, you know what could have helped JR Smith not make that, you know, big crazy, well, both our sponsors in this first segment here could have help JR, but the first one is Built Bar.
He would have thrown a Built Bar to Coach, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he had a, if JR eats a Built Bar that timeout, he's just got that quick fuel, that protein, probably better off. But Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These are a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They come in 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate / nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut free flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're great and healthy for the health conscious guy. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and you have great flavors like peanut butter brownie that has 20 grams of protein, only 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. They have a bunch of other great flavors. Some of them are up to available for up to 50% off right now. It's a deal you can't beat. And if you want to try them, you can go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. I eat a Built Bar basically every day. They're great. So please go check them out. Support them for supporting us. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off that first order. Again, up to 50% off on everything else. And Evan, why don't you tell everyone else about the other thing that could help them?
Well, phones are legal on the NBA sideline, but you can probably, you know, access it during halftime and again,
you know,
pregame as well. We all know JR's big guffaw in the 2018 NBA Finals in Game 1 where he thought the Cavs were up and dribbled out the ball, and I felt my soul exit my body for the final time of that Cavaliers season. But if JR, you know, had Blinkist, I think things would go a lot better. And let me tell you all about this secret weapon for learning new things and getting ahead. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now and has a massive and growing library, from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you've always meant to read but never had the time to. I like Blinkist because in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast-track my path to a more intelligent, informed, healthy me. And if you're interested with Blinkist, you can get an unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
All right, let's hop right back into this. Let's talk about Andre Drummond. So if you missed it earlier this week, people, he talked about why he's going to opt in with the Cavs. Now, there's the reporting from Chris Fedor that the Cavs were kind of caught off guard by this comment. But basically, like, his exact quote is, yeah, it's going to be hard to give up, in reference to his about $29 million player option. So you can count on me being Cleveland still. I will be in Cleveland.
Appreciate the honesty, because I too would have a hard time leaving $29 million on the table, all things considered right now.
Yeah.
I mean, even like what I'm making now, definitely would not leave $29 million on the table. If I was a multi-million dollar athlete with the salary cap situation, yeah, no, you take this money. And that's more or less what I heard. Like, Andre's realizing the reality of the situation, kind of reading the room here. Like, I will not get offered $29 million on the market this summer, and then cash in on your best available financial option, and then just open up and replay the field maybe next year. Or if somehow, some way, the Cavs really like what they see, they bang out an extension and Andre Drummond is locked in as the Cavs center going forward, and then we say goodbye to like Onyeka and Kung Wu and Tristan Thompson and players like that, and getting a little sadder and sadder the more I talk about it. So Chris, why don't you just take the floor here?
Well, let's do that. I think that next segment is kind of like how this impacts the potential offseason, but we've hem and hawed a lot about what Drummond has been and has not been since he came to Cleveland.
Yeah, we have.
Our thoughts are pretty well known on this.
Yeah.
The return has not been great so far in a lot of ways.
Would not say that, just because I think being removed from this team for so long now, it does give me clarity in the fact that the Cavs got him for pennies on the dollar.
No, that's true. But I just mean, like, the functionality of Andre Drummond has not really been there yet. Fair.
No.
Is that fair?
No, that's 100% fair, and he's just freelancing. That's my biggest problem.
So I guess this can maybe answer my question, but if you're going to say, this is how I want to fix this, is that him just being more kind of put into a distinct role with the Cavs under J.B. Bickerstaff on a full season in December?
Well, the problem is J.B. was asked about this, I believe, by Ben Axelrod, friend of the pod, or Greg Swartz friend of the pod as well. Sorry if you, both of you are listening. I don't mean
well, they wouldn't ghost us like Spencer.
That's true. Especially Greg. Greg really likes to come on and just dunk on you in terms of trivia, especially when the rules are kind of made up on the fly.
Yes.
JB more or less said, if I'm remembering this off the top of my head correctly, that he somewhat encourages Andre to just be a playmaker, be a spot-up shooter, do a lot of the stuff that drives the two of us wild, which I guess is good coaching. You want to be a player's coach, you want to be in their corner and be an advocate for things that maybe they want to try and do, and especially if you're in a losing situation like Cleveland's, you can take these chances. But I believe it was Brad Rowland when he had him on said, like, every time Andre Drummond takes a three-pointer, it is as bad, if not worse, than it, than just him just turning over the ball, because that's essentially what it is most of the time. And I feel like the Cavs maybe with more time under their belt, and Drummond did go on and say, like, I enjoy being in Cleveland. I think the people there are outstanding. The fan base is super dope. The gym is dope, which that's great. I love playing there, and the coaching staff is good. The team is young, so it's good to work with. Like, he likes being here, at least as a politician, at least. I don't know internally how he feels about being here. Probably a lot happier that John Boeheim's gone, obviously, because that was rumored as well. But if you can get Drummond to tap in a little bit more in his potential as a rim runner, as a rebounder, as a defender, like, he's exactly what the Cavs need, because he is an all-star caliber center, let's be frank, and the Cavs got him for nothing. But letting him do all this extraneous stuff just makes it so frustrating and not worth it that I'm like, all right, he'll be here till the trade deadline next year when some cap-hungry team who wants to sign Giannis or XYZ player in free agency needs to shed nearly 29 million in salary cap space for that summer. Like, that's what my mentality kind of is at. But I could also see if he comes locked back in, yeah, you could sell me pretty quickly on him staying here long term.
The freelancing thing is just the question, and I don't expect like JB or any coach, especially like just kind of the way things work now, to like publicly like throw a guy under and be like, we want Andre to stop doing this. You're like, he's just not going to do that. But I think, like, if Andre Drummond does what he did with the Cavs for a full season next year, I don't think that's going to help anybody. I just flat out do not think that helps Kevin Love. It does not help Larry Nance. It does not help Colin Sexton. It does not help Darius Garland. It does not help Kevin Porter Jr. It helps nobody if he does it. It only helps him. And you could argue, and I would argue, that it doesn't even help him. So I think the whole thing with this is just like, can Andre Drummond be, can you get a version of Andre Drummond that allows him the little bits of stuff that kind of keeps him kind of happy and content? Like the honorary Kendrick Perkins post-up that the Thunder used to do? Or can you, like, and can you get that to turn him into the rim-running rebounding machine that he kind of, at his best self, probably is?
Well, this is a quick question, though, because speaking of that Kendrick Perkins thing, did the Cavs still do that with Kevin Love like they used to when LeBron was still here, where they ran the first play to get Kevin a look just to keep him engaged?
The first quarter was his, or whatever they said at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think now it's just like Kevin is both, like, a spacer for the team. And as I think I said this earlier this week, I think Kevin is probably like a little underutilized as like an inside threat, just because it's still something he's very good at, and it's still like a pretty efficient shot for him. But he's used as a spacer, and then you don't get quite as many touches. Some of that could just be like function of lineups and stuff. There's questions I have about that I haven't properly asked, which maybe when we can talk to people again and do things like that, like that'll kind of be something I maybe poke around him, but. Yeah, it's not going to help anyone if Dre is doing what he does.
No, it's definitely not. And like you said, it's detrimental to the growth and development of all the young players. It doesn't make Kevin Love any happier about this kind of crappy situation he's in, where he's clearly not happy and wants out.
Which is interesting because they share an agent. And not that that means they're like connected at the hip. It's not like it is like every play. That doesn't work like that, where there's like the guys teaming up from agencies in all cases, you know, that has happened and will happen, but that's not really the case here. I think when you look at this, I think there is like Jeff Schwartz, their agent, has to like kind of keep them both happy. And I think both of them have to know like their best chance of getting paid, at least for the next year, at least Andre can obviously hit free agency again in a year, and then we'll see what happens there. But you know, he could get traded, but these are guys that are in a situation where they kind of do have to make the most of it. And Kevin, I think, understands that better now than he did a year ago,
He definitely understands that after he made his more than public demand that he wants traded, and then the Cavs didn't trade him. I think he's just kind of aware, like, listen, I have to not be such a dick.
It doesn't help him. And we'll see if Drummond gets there between now and December. It'll be something that I think a big part of Kobe Altman's job and Bickerstaff's job in the next, you know, how 6 months until they come back is to kind of get the right buy-in from Dre.
I think they can get it for sure, because JB, we've harped this a lot too, is a lot different of a coach, obviously, than John Beilein. Just simply,
Beilein would have had no shot at this. No shot.
Well, no, he had no shot, period, because apparently, that was like alluding to before, Dre was saying that, I don't really like this coach, apparently. Like, that was the rumor, like, that was the word saying, like, I don't want to play for this guy, and I don't know. The Cavs are I'm more optimistic on them, but they're still such a weirdly constructed roster in the fact that they have like a weird eclectic group of big men, veteran, and then a lot of ball dominant young guards. Like, it's just like the perfect storm of things that don't work. And I hope I wish JB Bickerstaff and his staff all the best in trying to solve this puzzle, but that's just the thing we're going to keep harping on, I guess, is the more we talk about Dre, is if JB can get him to buy in more than he already has been, because there's times we've seen like good Drummond, like that game against the Spurs when he posted 28-17-3, like that was a really good Drummond game, and was one of his like really best performances. And to be fair, the Cavs went 4-4 with Drummond in the lineup for the Cavs as well. I mean, he only played 28 minutes per game because he is a risk down the stretch because of his free throw shooting ability. But I don't know, maybe if JB can get him the buy-in, and I feel like I have confidence in JB's ability just because he commands the respect of that entire locker room.
Yes. Evan, why don't you real quickly, though, tell everyone about something that could help them when they're trying to get from point A to B, just like the Cavs have to get to point A to B.
Point A to point B, or when, you know, the Cavs had to pick up Dre from Burke Airport in downtown Cleveland, you know. The beautiful airport, by the way. They probably had to tune up their cars using rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and for the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break, come back with more Locked On Cavs, and talk about Andre Drummond and how we could impact the roster building for the summer right after this. All right, Evan, let's get into Andre Drummond and how he's going to...
We're going from point B to point C using rockauto.com at this point, folks.
You're darn right.
We're going to talk about what the future holds for the Cavs summer, at least, if now that we know that Andre Drummond is opting in. Chris, the floor is yours. Sorry.
Yeah. No. You're darn right. For me, when I think about this, I guess my thing is when I'm thinking about the draft, and you alluded to this, if Drummond opts in and they go into the draft, which will take place before this.
The draft is the day before his deadline.
Right. So they'll know by then.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. And they'll know too, like in theory, like if they're going to trade him or not by then. Like things could change between the start of the season, but let's just say like they sort of know. If I'm Kobe Altman, I think this really means, like, James Wiseman, Obi Toppin, Onyeka Okongwu, any big is off of my list, frankly. Just, like, any kind of center type of player is off of my list. I look at free agency. You know, as a tease for something we're doing, one of the needs we identified in the series, we're going to do it for the shortest rim protection. like, it's not a Drummond skill. If you can't get draft fits, I think it means you got to just try to get a, if you want a veteran guy to take that onto his edge spot, it means you go for like Chris Boucher, Biombo, Kylo Quinn on like a minimum deal. But I think if Drummond, especially with the price he commands, there's just no real value, I think, in drafting or investing any other serious capital in bigs. And I think it would be like, even if a player becomes really good or if they really like the guy or whatever, like if they think Okungwu is like the best guy in the draft, like I can see that argument in a weird draft, but I think your just upside and your return is going to be so much lower because you have Andre Drummond.
No, I agree. And well, my well to you about the Cavs at least not drafting James Wiseman, James Wiseman has the same agent as Kevin Love and Andre Drummond. If Jeff Schwartz really wants to run rampant like Rich Paul did at one point in this Cavaliers organization, he could probably coerce Kobe Altman and company drafting Wiseman. And friend of the pod, Trevor Magnotti, would never be the same if they did that, because if he hated the Kevin Porter Jr. pick, we're going to have to like drive to his place in Pennsylvania, Chris, just to make sure he's okay if they end up picking Wiseman, just based on how Trevor feels about him. Yeah, there's options out there for the Cavs when it comes to... Well, let me jump back to my other point. There are two paths. Like they could take Onyeka Okongwu. They could take James Wiseman. And the luxury, I guess, it is when it comes with big guys in the NBA is they do take a little bit of time. I mean, that's just a given with any young player. But guards have sometimes an easier time acclimating to NBA ball just because they have more touches and everything. But big guys take a little bit longer to acclimate. You could have Onyeka Okongwu. You could have James Wiseman coming off the bench in relief of Drummond. But again, if they bring back Tristan Thompson, it becomes even sillier, because then you have Thompson, Drummond, Nance, Love is like your primary big rotation. It just becomes really murky at that point. But like Chris Boucher, I'd be really fun with. I'd call him Bobby just for shits and giggles, and talking about another good Adam Sandler movie not named Uncut Gems there, but that'd be fun. Trying to trade for Ken Burch is always a dream of mine, because I like what Ken Burch brings to the table in terms of just as a big man in the NBA. That would be fun and relief just in terms of rim protection and everything else, and something the Cavs need to address. But once the Cavs have a clear picture, and I think they're getting a clear picture right now of what they're going to do with Drummond, now that they know he's going to be here at least through the trade deadline at minimum next year, it's going to have a huge impact on what they do in the draft. And yeah, no, like Obi Toppin, I'm kind of almost 100% out on at this point. Like Trevor Magnotti, again, described him to me today that he's a 22-year-old geriatric patient that cannot play defense. And I'm like, that's a red flag to me. So, Drummond opting in definitely has an impact on the draft strategy. And I think that's when you start looking at like 3 and D wings and other positions in need as well for the Cavs.
Yeah, it's not like any of these guys are like an Embiid level prospect that you just like can't really pass up. Because if that was the case, I think you just take the guy and then you just flip Drummond for whatever you can. That's what I would do. That's at least like an option
you have. Or you do what Philly does and get really weird with it, and you have Embiid, Okafor, and Nerlens Noel on your roster at the same time.
Shouts to the Sixers. The other implication here is that I think if Drummond comes back, I have a hard time seeing the Cavs being willing to. I think just the Tristan Thompson part of this becomes like a real concern. Even if like locker room wise, like the guys want him back, I think encore wise it's a little tricky to fit him, especially as you're gonna have all these. You're gonna keep adding wings that you need to find minutes for.
Yeah, you know, this is where it gets so murky for me, because a lot of people who are fans of the team and people I interact with are like, oh, maybe the Cavs can swing for an additional draft pick on draft night. An already bad draft, mind you. But like, let's just going into next year, we now know that Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, Kevin Porter Jr., Kevin Love, Larry Nance Jr., Andre Drummond, Dylan Windler, and then the draft pick as well. That's 8 players right there.
Then you have Dante Exum.
And you have Dante Exum, who will get fringe minutes as the 9th man. Then you have Alphonso McKinney, who still might be here. That could be your 10th man as well at that point. Like, that's... The Cavs are pretty loaded in terms of the rotation. We're going to largely see... That's what I've kind of more or less heard from the organization at this point, is we're more or less going to see the same exact... I forgot Jetty as well. Oh, my God. Yeah. So that's 11 players there. We're going to more or less see the same team next year. Maybe with more experience and just time off, a lot of the younger players are able to keep their trajectory. Colin Sexton is being the big one that I'm willing to take a safe bet on. But Yeah, no, adding Tristan to the mix makes it even murkier because there's only so many mouths to feed, and it is the antithesis of modern basketball. It's fun, it's weird. Larry Nance told you and I both that the Cavs didn't know what they were doing when they put him at small forward, and they put Kevin at the four and Tristan at the five, and then they exploited the mismatches on offense. I still don't think that's sustainable long term. And the Cavs are already having so much money financially committed to big men, they're going to be forced to be playing them a lot. It's just going to make it even harder for the Cavs to bring back Tristan. Like, as much as I would like to bring him back, it's just like another like victory lap season just to like finally like say goodbye to him, quote unquote, even though fans won't be in the stands. But yeah, no, I think Drummond announcing his intentions yesterday more or less just pulls the nail in the coffin in Tristan Thompson's time with the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is a shame. It's a shame how a season ended.
Yeah. Is there a chance they bring him back? I don't think it's like entirely off the table, but I think it's just harder to justify at that point. It's just like you have all these bodies, and like, look, like even if you're the Cavs, like you could argue that you want to see if you can get actual something out of Dante Exum because he's young, he's really talented, he's had some really successful minutes in the NBA. Just injury luck has not worked in his favor, including this past season before it kind of got interrupted. And like again, teams are not spending as much on bigs. It's sort of like the running back thing in the NFL. Like, you just don't spend as much money on the front court. No. So I think this is just an ongoing kind of problem. Evan, is there a scenario that you think works where you could bring Tristan back, or is there a number like that that's just kind of too good of a deal to pass up? Like, what do you make of it?
See, this is tough because it depends on who they draft. That's really my big hang-up point. Like, the Cavs go in the direction of, like, an Obi Toppin or an Onyeka Okongwu or James Wiseman. It would be so foolish of the Cavs not to let their young rookie that they more or less suffered through the season for not play. I mean, granted, Drummond's a better player at this point in their respective careers when you have a rookie and a seasoned big man, but it depends on what they do in the draft for me to really say, like, yeah, bring back Tristan, because Ante Zizek is not much longer for the United States in terms of basketball. He's going to Maccabi. Did you see his Instagram today? Like, his story? He's got such a nice like setup in Croatia.
He's very nice guy.
Super nice. Really camera shy for, obvious reasons. Like, he's just probably not used to being in the center of attention. Like, when he had that career night, I remember, like, people were swarming him and, like, I think you were with me, Chris, but he looked visibly uncomfortable having the press,
hated,
like, asking.
Hated everything about what they asked him to do.
Yeah, they're like, he's like, I just want to go home. I just want to go, I don't know, play Xbox. I don't really know really what Ante does in his spare time, so I'm just assuming.
He's a regular at a Crepe Place in Willoughby.
Good choice. Yep. It's like Miles Garrett picking the Valley Cafe as his preferred breakfast destination. Solid choice, Miles, if you're listening, but I was like, Ante Zizek is not going to be here, but Larry Nance hates playing the five. Kevin Love hates playing the five. You want to try and make these guys, at least Larry, like, he's more of a 3-4-5, more so a 3 than a 5 at this point. And then, like, Kevin, at this point, you want to keep him at the 4 primarily. If the Cavs don't draft a big this year, that's when you bring back Tristan. That's how I feel, at least. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's workable. I think if you want to just keep those guys in the position they make more sense at and have a locker room leader, I'm all for that. But I also just look at the league. I'm looking at other teams that are going to have some tax space to kind of work with for 2021. You know, I think Dallas would be an interesting fit for him. I think Houston could be an interesting fit for him, although they don't have, like, a ton of money. The Pelicans could make some sense. Like, I think there are just more positive basketball fits for Tristan.
Oh, yeah. I'd love him on the Clippers. I'd love him on the Pelicans, like you said.
Yeah. I think if he wants to go...
I don't want
to
watch him waste the better part of his remaining athleticism.
Like, he's got one or two more years probably where he can still kind of compete at a high level, and that's where the problem kind of comes in. So that's where we're headed with him. So I hope that he does get that, but if he comes back to the Cavs, they can find a use for him. It's just not the ideal fit, and I think you could argue, like, just the resources are better spent trying to get, like, a veteran wing of some kind that can, like, shoot and defend a little bit versus, like, another big, because you could just get Kylo Quinn for the minimum, and, like, you know, it's not Tristan, but
Kylo Quinn is the basketball nerd wet dream in terms of big men. Well, I love it.
Not for me, but it's just like, that's
it's
like
a joke.
It's just like that kind of, like, cheap big. I just don't know. Like, if you get Bismack Biyombo for $2 million, like, it
oh
is
my
what
gosh,
it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I could see the Cavs opting to go that route.
That's true. It could get even weirder this summer as well. Maybe the Cavs do somehow flip Kevin Love as well.
Do we have to stop saying summer because it's not summer?
Off season, fall. Is it the fall? No, I keep catching myself whenever I write. Like, I start typing like this upcoming summer, and I'm like, no, that's not right. This upcoming off season, because we don't really have a hard date set still. Like, granted, we know it's like October is what they're shooting for, but it could happen earlier. Who knows? But
yeah,
it's a weird time. I mean, still holding out hope. Kevin Love gets flipped for Caris LeVert and matching salary, and then he can go chill in New York with Kyrie and KD, and like Kevin and Kyrie is like the most. I'd have so much fun. I'd buy a Kevin Love Nets jersey, but yeah, I don't know. As we wrap up though, Chris, is there anything you want to like touch on before we say goodbye to everyone for the weekend?
I just want to say I'm glad Tyler Zeller is going to be in the bubble somehow.
Yeah, me too. It's weird, the Zeller family legacy in the Spurs. This is another quick story. So I was at a Canton Charge Austin Toros game when they were in the playoffs many moons ago. Luke Herangode is playing for the Charge, to put it in perspective. He had a career night that night. Tyler's older brother, I think it's Luke. Is that his name? He was playing for the Austin Toros at the time, and I'm like, huh. And I guess it's just kind of cool that their family lineage is just stuck in San Antonio. Maybe Cody will end up there too, and then we'll see what happens. But yeah, no, happy for Tyler Zeller, happy for Dion, happy for JR, happy for all these former Cavaliers that are getting an opportunity to play for a ring. Well, hopefully it's a fun, safe time. That's all I can say.
Yeah, as we record here, I'm looking at the J.R. Smith 2016 bobblehead on my shelf.
Is it next to your Buccaneers helmet that has the book that says Tom on it? Because you're a savant and predicted it?
No, I moved some things around, but I have my Mark Price one up by the Bucs helmet on the same shelf as my JR when I have my Ohio Bobcats football helmet.
Ugh, gross. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I guess the last thing here, Evan, is just a reminder, everyone, next Friday, book club is back. Vintage Cavs, first four chapters.
I know. I've been done with the book for like 2 weeks now, so I'm going to like read it again.
It's very good. I've done 3 of the 4 chapters so far. It's very good.
I'm like giving you like a guilt silence here, Chris. Like 3 of the 4 chapters.
I was reading about Jurgen Klopp. Okay.
This isn't Locked on Jurgen Klopp.
David Locke, if you want me to do Locked on Jurgen Klopp. Pay me.
I'm out.
Pay me. I'll do it by myself. I'll find a German guy in like a Liverpool. So I'll get one of my friends, Colin Curtis, to do it with me.
Larry Nance to do it with you. Just talk soccer.
He'll be like, can we just talk about Chelsea? I'm like, nah. Chelsea.
I had a family member who listened to that episode and like, yeah, you went silent as soon as I started talking about soccer. I'm like, yeah, I literally pulled out my phone and was just staring at my desk while you guys were talking.
I went like Deion Waiters is like, I'm the best player on the floor, but LeBron and Kyrie are on the floor with me in that moment. It was not my best moment. I apologize.
Nah, you're good, man. It was a good episode. I'm happy how it turned out.
Classic.
Yeah, no, but thanks for listening, everyone. Stay safe, stay hydrated. It's gonna be, I think, a toasty one this weekend.
Yep.
For those living locally and those living abroad, it's summertime, so it is what it is at this point. But no, thanks to Built Bar, thanks to Blinkist, thanks to Rock Auto for sponsoring the show like always. And as we head out of here, we're gonna give you a quick teaser of Rejecting the Screen, so I hope y'all enjoy it. And yeah, have a good weekend and go Cavs.
Yeah, enjoy. Be safe. Talk to you Monday.